You're listening to audio from St. Luke Church in Lexington, Kentucky. If you'd like to learn more or donate to this ministry, please check out our website at stlukelex.com.
Well, hey. I love that video, Mark. That is so good. Thank you. You know, this series that will be going on this summer is called Summer School, and that's kind of because the people who will be sharing kind of get to share whatever they want, you know, kind of a lighter season where people can just, the different people who will be sharing can pick their theme and that sort of thing. So it's really kind of brave for Brian to give me the pulpit today, you know. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Well, here we are. You know, here we are. This is a time that we knew was coming, and it's a time that we're probably facing with a variety of emotions. And trust me, I'm right there with you. It's bittersweet. It is bittersweet. I love St. Luke, all of our wonderful people. I love all of you dearly. I love this church dearly. And I'm also excited about this next chapter in my life, you know, and I'm very glad that I get to share with you today. And I want to use our time together today to share a bit of my story. I've called this message, "These Are a Few of My Favorite Things." No, I'm not going to sing that. scriptures and songs that have shaped me, because the scriptures and songs that I'm going to share have shaped me. They are my story, and we all have a story. We all have scriptures and songs that have shaped us and that continue to shape us, and there are so many that have impacted me. For today, though, I've chosen just a few, and I'll share them as we go along. You know, I was fortunate to grow up in a home that took me to church when I was growing up, and it was a good church. It was a place where I was loved, where I was seen, where I was valued. I was there pretty much every time the doors were open. It's where I was taught the Bible. It's where I learned to love the Bible. And it's where I learned that it's okay to ask questions about your faith, that it's in fact encouraged. And we all have questions about our faith at times, don't we? Ignoring or denying those questions can do great harm too. And more than that, avoiding our questions builds a fragile faith, but wrestling with our questions, working through our questions, that develops a robust faith. I can still hear one of my elementary Sunday school teachers saying that it's okay to ask questions about your faith because God can handle it and our faith is stronger when we work through it. God can handle those questions about our faith and our faith is stronger when we work through it. I didn't realize until much later what a tremendous gift that was. That's the church where I learned scriptures, and I memorized a few along the way as well. And I learned to love music through children's and youth choirs, through church musicals, through pageants. And some songs are just fun to sing, like Onward Christian Soldiers. You just can't really help but march along as you sing that. I learned how to pronounce Abednego by doing a musical when I was a child. It was a pageant on Daniel. And as much fun as some of those songs were to sing, even as a child, I could tell that some were good and some were just fun. Even then, what did Jesus say became my compass? And it became my compass in more than just music, too. I can remember asking my mom, why do some people say and do some things? Why do they say that's what the church should do when it's not what Jesus said to do? Why aren't we doing what Jesus said to do? You know, the Beatitudes. And my mom, who always answered any question I ever asked and who never backed away from a tough question, said, because living it out is hard. And it is, isn't it? Living it out is hard. Living out Jesus' commands, it's not always easy. It's rarely what culture says we should do. Following Jesus, really following Jesus, it's not our default. It has to be a choice that we make. Sometime in that time period, I learned another song. They will know we are Christians by our love. And it's still one of my favorites today. Do you know that one? We're one in the Spirit. We're one in the Lord. We pray that all unity will one day be restored and they'll know we are Christians by our love. We'll walk with each other We'll walk hand in hand. Together we'll spread the news that God is in our land. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. We'll work with each other. We'll work side by side. We'll guard each man's dignity and save each man's pride. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. All praise to the Father, from whom all things come. All praise to Christ Jesus, his only Son. And all praise to the Spirit who makes us one. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. Now, you may have heard of that song, and it's pretty easy to think that it's kind of simplistic, but did you realize there's actually deep scriptural basis for it? Here are some of the places the Bible draws from in it. John 13, 1 John 4, Romans 13, Galatians 5, Ephesians 4, Philippians 2, Galatians 6, Colossians 1, 3 John 1, Matthew 9, Mark 1, 1 Corinthians 14, 1 Corinthians 8, Hebrews 2. Our love is what defines us. It defines us as Christians. It's what makes us stand out from the world, that we are one in the Spirit, that we are one in the Lord, that we love others, that we walk with each other and work with each other to share God's good news, that we work for the good of others, that we praise the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, who are one and who unify us, and that we are one. Now, of course, I didn't know all that when I was a child, but it did resonate with me because it was lining up with what I was learning about Jesus and about the Bible. I've always loved music, too. In fact, I learned to read music at a young age when my parents got a piano and signed me up for lessons just to keep me busy and out of trouble. I was a terrible piano student, by the way, but I treasured what I learned. And once I was in middle school, my parents signed me up for band also, and I continued it all the way through high school. My middle school band teacher, Mr. Van Horn, was a saint. And my high school band teacher, Mr. Anderson, remains one of the most influential people in my life. He worked us hard. He taught us well. He had high expectations of us, both as students and as people. And he really cared about us. During my time in band, we played a lot of good stuff. We played and marched a lot of complicated stuff. We played many different styles. But there's one song that made the rotation from time to time that didn't really fit as well with the rest of them, and I didn't really get it at first. It was pretty straightforward. It was kind of simple. It wasn't really that much fun to play. It wasn't until later on that I realized just how intentional and subversive Mr. Anderson was being. And what was the song? Oh, Worship the King. And what made it subversive? Its rich theology. Oh, worship the King, all glorious above. Oh, gratefully sing God's power and God's love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded in praise. It tells of God's might. It tells of his grace. It tells of his care. And the last verse tells us who we are in relation to God. Frail children of dust and feeble as frail, in thee do we trust, nor find thee to fail. Thy mercies, how tender, how firm to the end, our maker, our redeemer, our defender, our friend. Now, I know now that Mr. Anderson, who I still run into from time to time, is a firm Christian as well as a great teacher. And I now know that he used the opportunities he had in the interest of teaching classic music to also embed spiritual and scriptural truths. That hymn is still one of my favorites because I, of course, love the words and music. And also because it makes me smile to be reminded that there are many ways that we can spread God's word. I had another incredible opportunity when I was in high school as well. When I was a senior, I was fortunate enough to be able to take a class called Literature of the Bible. It was taught by one of my favorite teachers of all time, Mr. Jadley. I can remember thinking, can they offer that? I went to a public school. I remember even talking to my mom about it because it seemed kind of daring. But they could, they did, and I took it. It was there that I first truly encountered the book of Job. We studied lots of books, but Job was one we spent a lot of time in. And of course, I'd heard about it, and I knew a little about it, but I'd never really read through the whole book before, and I'd never really encountered it. In that class, we read and studied the book, and I saw for the first time how Job's friends, they responded pretty well at first, and then after a bit, they handled things pretty badly. And isn't that the case for us often as well? They're just present with him for a time, for a good long time. Something terrible has happened to him. And they arrive with just the gift of their presence. They just sit with him. And then what happens? Well, they open their mouths. Oh, golly. That's when they reveal their ignorance about this God that they think that they're defending. I saw how Job responded to them, and I saw how God responded to Job, putting things in perspective. Job remains one of my favorite books in the Bible because it showed me how to be a friend. It showed me who we are to God, and it showed me who God is to us. So this understanding of who God is and how the Bible speaks to us was deeply embedded in me throughout my childhood and my teenage years. But it wasn't until I was in my mid-20s that I actually began to let what I believe start to impact how I lived. Many of you know my husband, Todd. He and I have been married for almost 28 years now, and he's a true gift. He remains evidence to me that God knows me better than I know myself and that he takes care of me. And our son, Taylor, is phenomenal. He's funny, he's smart, and he's one of the kindest people I know. Many of you also know that I was married before, and it was not good. My first marriage was quite bad. And it was during that time that I sought answers and solutions to the situation in my faith. It was probably the first time that I realized that I actually needed God. As that marriage ended, I came to realize that the solution, God, was something that we did not have in common. And as strange as it may sound, it was one of the most important spiritual formation moments of my life, because that's when I learned that I absolutely had to depend on God. Now, don't get me wrong, I still made lots of mistakes. I did some really dumb things. But I turned to Scripture, and I learned the Scripture, and I took seriously starting to apply it to my life. And then I was absolutely just slammed in the heart by the truth of Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. God redeems our life from the pit, and he crowns us with love and with compassion. He satisfies our desires with good things. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. He removes our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. He knows how we are formed. Of course he does. He remembers that he made us from dust. And his love for us is as high as the heavens are above the earth. Oh my goodness, the power of that on my life. Psalm 103 remains one of my favorites to this day. And I also clung to verses like 1 John 4:4. He that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. The power of Christ in me is greater than these powers and temptations that are around me? Really? What a relief. I clung to that as I grew in living out my faith. I actually kept that verse on my calendar for years as a reminder and as an encouragement and an assurance. And I experienced the truth of Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And right before that, the very end of verse 5, the Lord is near. The Lord is near, so don't be anxious, but tell God with thanksgiving, and a peace that is unexplainable will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. I've experienced the truth of this. When I was in a time of great fear and stress, I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed this verse. I prayed it deeply. And God's peace filled me, and it overwhelmed me. The situation was still there, but I knew that God was there too. He was near. He was guarding my heart and my mind, and the fear stopped gripping and crippling me. This season was the beginning of learning to let my faith impact how I lived. I made the decision, I made the conscious, intentional decision that I was going to make sure that my faith was guiding my actions, my behaviors, and my decisions. I even carried a keychain for years that has the verse, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." I chose to make sure that my words and my actions started reflecting my faith, because trust me, they didn't always. And tangible reminders like that throughout my journey have always been very helpful for me. As I continued to explore Scripture, continued to pray for God's presence with me, continued to be more and more who I said I was, I had lots and lots of opportunities. I had the opportunity to work with middle schoolers, many of whom are in at-risk populations, some of the most marginalized people you could imagine. And teaching gave me many ways in which I could impart the result of what I believed to be the kind of person I chose to be when it would have been easy to be otherwise. I found subversive ways to demonstrate my faith, to impart godly truths into the lives of young people, much as Mr. Anderson did. And during that time, I also had the privilege of growing in service and leadership here at St. Luke. You know, every part of this journey has been a step of faith, one step at a time, small steps, then bigger steps, then bigger steps, growing as I trusted God and as I served. One of the really big steps was understanding and accepting that God was calling me into vocational ministry. Now, at the time, I had no idea what I'd be doing, and I certainly did not think I'd be doing what I'm doing now. I probably would have run the other way for a while. But at the time, God's call was clear. He said, "Prepare." And so I left teaching and went to seminary. Every step of my journey has been God saying, "Pick up your foot," and when I do, He tells me when and where to put it down. It's a journey of trust. And trusting that first time was a choice. It was a decision. I decided that I knew what God was saying, and that if I believed God, I had to trust Him. And He proved His faithfulness. Now, each step of faith is joyful because I know that He has something good ahead and that He will equip me for it. But we'll get back to that in a minute. Before that, I want to talk about someone who did run the other way and found out that it didn't work out all that well. Jonah. This is another one of my favorite books in the Bible because it's just so human. You know, Jonah is more than just about being swallowed up and then spit out by a big fish, right? It's about Jonah running from what God tells him to do, then barely doing it, and then pouting when it works. God tells Jonah to go to his biggest enemies and tell them to knock off their foolishness, but Jonah doesn't want to, and so he runs away. And he finds a fish. God gets him out of the fish and tells him again, "Go tell them to knock it off." So Jonah goes this time, but only barely. He barely gets in range, he barely delivers his message, and then he just trudges off. But miracle of miracles, they respond to his message and they change their ways. And what does Jonah do? He pouts. He really pouts. It's such a human story, isn't it? It's a good one to hold up as a mirror to ourselves, too. I mean, do we really want our enemies to be forgiven? Do we really want our enemies to be forgiven? Do we really? Do we want to see our enemies in heaven? It's a good question to ask ourselves, to hope and to pray and to trust God that even our enemies can change their ways and come to know God and come to faith in Christ. There's another scripture that I love. I encountered this one early-ish in the season of my life, and it continues to impact me deeply. Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 9. It says that God is the only God, and we need to love Him with everything we have. And perhaps more importantly, it tells us that we need to remember to keep it in front of us all the time. And we hear this again later in Deuteronomy, we hear it in Matthew, we hear it in Luke, and it's embedded throughout Scripture. This is who God is. We need to love Him with everything we have, and we need to remember this. Remember. Remember. And why do we need to hear this so much? Well, because we forget. The exciting Old Testament book of Numbers has some real gems in it, and here's one. Numbers 15, 37 to 41 tells the people how to set reminders to keep God's commandments and not get distracted by everything you feel or see that seduces you into infidelities. Well, that's blunt, isn't it? But it's pretty great. Don't get distracted by everything that you feel or see that seduces you into infidelities. I think I'm insulted. Don't get distracted by everything I feel and I see because I could become unfaithful to God. Like that would ever happen. Well, it's probably a good thing that that reminder is there, isn't it? That there's a lot of reminders that we have to remember who God is. We have to keep that in front of us all the time. So Amazing Grace fits in here pretty well right now. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. It was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed? God's grace. We'd be in real trouble without it, wouldn't we? And when you experience it, there's nothing more humbling and there's nothing more holy. I know this hymn is a favorite for lots of people and for good reason. For me, the truth of it just washes over me in fresh ways in different seasons of my life. A few minutes ago, I talked a little about when God called me into vocational ministry, and I want to return to that now. I had been teaching for several years, and I was growing in leadership there, growing in leadership here at the church. And there was a point, as I said, when God called me to take a next step, and I knew that he was saying that. He made it clear the direction when he told me to prepare. Prepared by leaving teaching and going to seminary. That was a really big step. I began working here at the church. I was doing meaningful stuff, but stuff that for me was pretty safe. And then after a couple of years, God spoke to me through Mark Girard. He told me that I should consider pastoral ministry. And I said, what? He said, yep, you need to think about that. You need to pray about that. Mark, I'm grateful that you saw something in me that I did not see in myself. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed about it. And I prayed some more. And then I took another one of those steps with God. During that time, there was one particular passage that led me to accept this call to become licensed and ordained. Matthew 28, 16 to 20. Many times you probably know me well enough to know by now that I enjoy reading passages in different translations, but this time there was one particular version that struck me deeply, the Message. Hear this with me. Meanwhile, the 11 disciples were on their way to Galilee, headed for the mountain Jesus had set for their reunion. The moment they saw him, they worshiped him. Some, though, held back, not sure about worship, about risking themselves totally. Jesus, undeterred, went right ahead and gave his charge. God authorized and commanded me to commission you. Go out and train everyone you meet, far and near, in this way of life, marking them by baptism in the threefold name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then instruct them in the practice of all I have commanded you, and I'll be with you as you do this, day after day after day, right up to the end of the age. There's one part that really stood out to me, and through it I received a fresh revelation of Scripture. Some, though, held back, not sure about worship, about risking themselves totally. Jesus, undeterred, went right ahead and gave his charge. Some held back, not sure about worship, not sure about risking themselves totally. Jesus, undeterred, went right ahead and gave his charge. Jesus knew that I was hesitant. He knew that I was uncertain. He knew that I was afraid to risk totally, and he was undeterred. Jesus was not deterred by my fear. He was not deterred by my holding back. He went right ahead and gave his charge to me. This passage is my call scripture. I've had it posted on my office for years, and I've read it, and I've pondered it, and I've prayed it many times. It humbles me, and it shakes me, and it calibrates me. To have experienced God so clearly, showing me a path that I did not seek or even want, and how he's equipped me and how he's worked through me. God's strength is made clear in my weakness. Did I mention that's another favorite passage of mine? So, what are we to do with all of this? What am I to do with all of this? God calls each of us. I believe the Old Testament prophet Micah says it well in chapter 6, verse 8. He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. God has shown us what is good. All he requires of us is to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with him. No matter our job, no matter our age, no matter what, do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with God. And so here I am, at another season in my life where I've picked up my foot and trust God to tell me when and where to put it down. There's a song I've loved for years that speaks to me now, and we sing it sometimes here. We sing it pretty frequently in the contemporary service. It's called Oceans. Hear these words. You call me out upon the waters to great unknown where feet may fail, and there I find you in the mystery. In oceans deep, my faith will stand, and I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours and you are mine. Your grace abounds in deepest waters. Your sovereign hand will be my guide. Where feet may fail and fear surrounds me, you've never failed and you won't start now. So I'll call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours and you are mine. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Because God's been so faithful to me, because I've learned that I can truly trust him, even though this transition is bittersweet, I'm also filled with joyful anticipation because God is leading the way. It's easy for me to say, "How great thou art, O Lord my God," when I in awesome wonder consider all that you've made. I see your power throughout the universe, and I can't help but sing, "How great you are." I can truly say it's well with my soul, whether in times of peace or sorrow. It's well with my soul, even in times of trial and trepidation. Even when I can't stand against it on my own, Jesus is with me. And there will be a day when my faith is sight. It is well with my soul. And always, always, my compass is the same. What does Jesus say about it? Am I doing what Jesus told us to do? Love God, love others, make disciples, be humble. I choose to trust. I choose to really believe what the Bible says and what Jesus taught us. That's not something that just happened. It's a decision I made. I decided to trust. And God has shown me over and over and over again that he can be trusted and his promises are true. Do I really believe that God has a plan? Yes. Do I really believe that God is guiding me? Yes. Do I really know the truth of God's love and care and provision and guidance? Yes. And so can you. As long as we are here on this earth, God is writing our stories. These are scriptures and songs that have shaped me and are shaping me. What is shaping you? I pray that my story is an encouragement to you. Amen. Let's pray. Holy God, we do love you, Lord. We love you, God, and you have given us more than we can ever imagine or fully understand. You show us that we can trust you. You show us that you are active in our lives and drawing us to you. And God, we're grateful that you continue to write our stories. Be with us as we continue to walk with you and grow in our trust of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing.